And if we'll go to one of the first ones, in fact, the first one, look at Psalm number 3, and then we'll show you how these tie into the life of David. The Superscription Psalms. And we want to say two things about the purpose of the superscriptions. Number one, they give for us the historical setting of the psalm. They give to us the historical setting for the psalms. And number two, they are rare. Most of the psalms do not have superscriptions. They are rare, and therefore, in the light of their rarity, when we do have them, they are significant. Now, I've called these the superscription psalms. Not that that is really a category of psalm, but it is simply the fact that certain ones do have superscriptions over them. And the first thing we really ought to do is to identify the superscription, looking at Psalm 3. Now, if you got a New American Standard Bible, the first line that you have is not a superscription. It is put there by the English translators. It says, a morning prayer of trust in God. How many have that? Okay, you can do anything you want with that. It's not inspired. You would look at the Hebrew Bible and you would not see the words morning prayer of trust in God. That is put there by the translator, that it is an interpretation, but it is not inspired. Or you can put by the words morning prayer of trust in God, parentheses, not the word of God. That's the opinion of man. However, if you come to the next little section, and it looks to me like if you compare this with the text of verse 1 that begins, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. At least in my Bible, the line before that that says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son is in much smaller type. Is yours? Okay, don't let that confuse you. That superscription is part of the Word of God. In other words, if you pick up a Hebrew Bible, you will look and you will see it there. Consequently, many times in the Psalms, if you're looking at verse 2 in the English text, that will be verse 3 in the Hebrew text. In other words, it will be one off. So, looking then at a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son, and the purpose of putting those superscriptions there are to give historical setting. In other words, the author of the psalm is saying, you really will not grasp what this psalm is all about unless you know where it fits in the history of the Old Testament. And in this particular case, the instance is David's fleeing from Absalom. The context of that would be 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. The superscriptions tell where to go to get your background. 2 Samuel 12. Because they are rare, they are important, and we should never overlook the superscription of a psalm. And if you come to the psalm and attempt to read it without understanding the superscription and where it puts us in history, a whole lot is going to be missed. Now, Absalom was the son of David. And if you come over to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, you have the incident of his adultery with Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan comes along and identifies David as the one who was guilty. And David admits it. And in verse 11, the prophet says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. And in the following context, we will have the relationship of David with Absalom. So we know then, coming to Psalm 3, that when he fled from Absalom, his son, who was pursuing his life, it was a discipline for his sin. And it was a consequence of though he had confessed the sin, though it was forgiven, he is going to express consequences of it. And in the midst of those consequences, he writes Psalm 3. So you can see how important it is to go back and get the setting for that. And therefore, remembering two things. They give the historical setting for the psalm, and they are rare and therefore significant. Now, coupling that with a second thing, and that is the three parts that we've already looked at of David's life. And the more I look at his life, the more I'm convinced that three parts are extremely important. One, pre-anointing. That would be all that we know about David before 1 Samuel chapter 16. And basically this would be the life of David, his youth, how he was the youngest of eight brothers, and how, being in that position, he took care of the flock of his father. Very significant, however, is chapter 16, that begins the post-anointing period of David's life. And that would begin with 1 Samuel 17 through the end of the book, chapter 31. And in that post-anointing period, basically we have 30 years of pursuit by Saul. And David in this period is being chased literally from cave to cave, from place to place, from mountain hiding place to another mountain hiding place. And his life literally was in danger for 30 years. And then that, of course, results in his coronation. This is all the way through Samuel now. Coronation and reign. And he reigned for some 40 years as king over all of Israel. Now, we're looking at this point at David's life in terms of the post-anointing period. Now, in that period, and in many of the studies on David, I have discovered that most of the studies come purely out of Samuel. And no one seems to really bother to say, well, do we know anything about how David thought during that period? Do we know what he did when he was hiding in the cave at Adullam? Is there anything of his mental attitude? Do we know anything of David in that period? And that is extremely important because in that particular period of time, the Word of God gives us eight psalms whose superscription puts us in that 30-year period. So very, very heavy in the book of Psalms is God saying this, I want you to know how David thought. I want you to know what David did. I want to know his highs. I want you to know his lows. I want you to know this information, the way the man thought in this 30-year period. Now, as in any recipe, you begin by gathering ingredients. And so if we're going to look at the way David thought during this period, we ought to list and know the eight superscription psalms of his period from anointing to coronation. And they are as follows, and we'll turn to each one to get the idea. Number one, superscription tying into the 30-year period when he's fleeing from Saul is Psalm 7. Number one is Psalm 7. And we'll give two things with it. Number one, in that psalm, what is the theme? And second, where is it found in the history of David? Psalm number 7, and let's turn to it. So in my text, I have Psalm 7, then I have the words, the Lord implored to defend the psalmist against the wicked, not the Word of God. Human summary, good summary, but not the Word of God. Next, a Shagayan of David. This is the only Shagayan we have, and no one is really certain exactly what that means. It is apparently a very enthusiastic type of music to which it was put, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite. And so the theme of this is going to be slanderous charges or slander by a man named Cush. By the way, if you want to get a feel for what kind of pressure did David know the most of, then here it is, slander. David was lied about over and over and over and over. And unfortunately, the lies that were told about David were believed by Saul. Saul was convinced by a man named Doeg that David is determined to kill you. And yet over and over again, the evidence was David had no intention of touching the Lord's anointed. He had an opportunity once, remember, when he was asleep and David cut off the cuff of his garment and later showed him, look, your sword was there. I was close enough to touch you and your garment and I didn't kill you. So all the evidence said all the slanders were lies, but that's not the point. Even though the slanders were lies, they were believed. And they were believed by many, many, many people. I think most of us, when someone tells something about us that's not too good, if it's true, you don't like it, but it's not all that bad. But what is it when it is absolutely contrary to everything that is truth? And that's the kind of pressure that David had to live under for 30 years. One lie after another. The setting for that particular psalm would be in, I'll just put SCR for scripture. The setting for this psalm would be when he was hunted from place to place by Saul, or 1 Samuel 24 through 26. 1 Samuel 24 through 26. So the Holy Spirit simply says, I will inspire the history. And now that I've inspired the history, I want you to listen to how David thought during the time that was taking place. So the first one, Psalm 7. The one we're going to look at today, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. After we list these eight psalms, we will begin to look in detail at some of them, and we'll begin with number 34. The theme of this psalm was when David was in a cave, fearing for his life, God gave him a mental attitude delivery. The theme was a mental attitude delivery. The scripture passage for this will be 1 Samuel chapter 21. Verse 10 through 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. Now the theme for this is almost humorous. The theme is David had gone into this terrible period of fear. Here the guy comes out of 1 Samuel 17, kills Goliath, is not afraid of the giant, gets down in Philistia. And when he gets in Philistia, he's recognized. And the people say, oh, you're the guy that those women sang that song about, how Saul has slain his thousands and you have slain your ten thousands. You must be David. And David is scared to death. He is paralyzed with fear. And because of his fear, he says, I gotta do something, because the king, Achish, recognizes who I am. You remember what he did? He slobbered in his beard. He waved his hands. Probably writhed on the ground. And did crazy things. Could you imagine this morning someone sitting here suddenly going crazy? Just getting up and flopping their arms and kicking chairs. Screaming, slobbering, spitting, pulling out their hair. You would definitely like to get them out of the room, wouldn't you? We don't enjoy being around people like that. And so that was David's tack. The king is going to think I'm crazy. When he sends me away, then I'll be free. And he goes from there, gets in a cave down at Adullam. Well, news gets out that he's there, and 400 ragtags come down to see him. It says they were people in debt. They were the discontent. And so David and his 400 malcontents are in a cave at Adullam. And notice chapter 34, the superscription, a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now keep your finger here, but go to 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. First Samuel 21 and verse 10. Then David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. And you might want to note, so you can harmonize, that in the psalm it talks about the man Abimelech. Abimelech is not a name. It's the Hebrew word for king, which is Melech, and then the word for father, father king. It's a title. It wasn't someone who would come in town and say, where's Abimelech? Oh, the Abimelechs live down, you know, Main Street. There were no Abimelechs. Abimelech is a title. A lot like in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh wasn't a name. Pharaoh was a title, and all the pharaohs had names. But Pharaoh was a title. And here, Abimelech is a title. The man's name is given in 1 Samuel, and his name was Achish. So Achish is the name of the king of Gath, one of five very important Philistine cities. And in the following context, they learn who he is. And notice verse 12. David took these words to heart and greatly feared. Get that? Greatly feared Achish. Go to the Psalm 34. And notice in Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, that is Achish, who drove him away and he departed, and as we find out, goes to this cave. But notice, as you leave the history, in chapter 21 of Samuel, David was literally paralyzed with fear. He was scared to death. Now, the setting for that is Psalm 34, and if you look at verse 4, you immediately have a harmonization problem. I sought the Lord. He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So what happens? David gets apart from all of his enemies, all by himself, and once again begins to see the face of God. So what you really have is he slays Goliath. He's a fearless man. Saul begins to pursue him in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and David is literally scared out of his wits. And he flees to Philistia, to the cave, all around that area. And sometime as he is sitting in that cave all alone, his whole mental attitude was delivered. And he began to experience delivery from all of his fears. And next hour, hopefully, we'll get into a listing when it talks about all of these fears. What were they? Well, we'll find in this 30-year period that David had many, many, many things which he could fear. But see how the historical background, again, puts us right into the tone of the psalm. And the psalm is literally, what God did for me in the cave down at Adullam. And basically he did this. He took away all of my fears. That fits, does it not, that God would pull David out away from his enemies, away from his friends, away from his family, away from everyone, puts him in a cave where there's no one to see but God. Question. Does God ever, in the life of his children, isolate us when we have nothing left but God? Maybe we're not in a cave at Adullam and physically separated, but God has literally pulled out all of the props and all of the things that we depended upon. He's taken them away, and he's done so for a reason. I want you to get your eyes off of all of these things, off of everything around you, and I want to put you in a mental cave so that once again you will come back to the proper attitude and see me. So the historical setting is always very important. Psalm 52. Psalm 52. It's very significant that as few psalms like this as there are, they are clustered in the 30-year period when David was fleeing Saul. Psalm 52, what is the theme? And looking at the superscription, this is for the choir director, means later it was put to music. See, one of the reasons that the hymns of Israel were perfect was they wrote the lyrics first and then the melody. So there was no necessity to say, well, with this melody, those words won't fit, so we have to change them. They didn't have to change any words because they had the words first, and then they set them to music. So coming down to 52, it says, a maskil means wisdom, a wisdom-giving psalm to David. When Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul and said to him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. And so the theme is this. Doeg slanders David. An influential man. Doeg was the chief herdsman of Saul. So he had a great deal of influence. And basically what we find is in the scripture, which is 1 Samuel 21 and 22. Doeg convinces Saul that David is trying to kill him, and that will be a significant background. Fourth one, Psalm 54. And the theme of Psalm 54 is David is hiding with the Ziphites. Hiding with the Ziphites. And that was something like 15 miles or so southeast of Hebron in Judah. And the scripture for that 1 Samuel 23, 14 and 15. Also 19 through 24. And 26, 1 through 4. Once again, the recurring theme is a lie successfully told about David. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Psalm 56 says for the choir director, according to Yonath Elam Rehokim, a miktam of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And so the theme, again, is his pursuit by the Philistines, again with the idea of killing David. The period, really, when you look at it, is David, for 30 years, was pursued by Saul, who wanted to kill him, and he was pursued by the Philistines, who wanted to kill him. And the ironical thing about it all is the place where the Philistines dwelled was also the place of Saul's pursuit. So he was in the land of the enemy, being pursued by an enemy. So it's really a period of enormous fear for David, and we'll see that later on. For Psalm 56, the theme is 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, 27 and verse 4, and 29, 2 through 11. The sixth psalm is Psalm 57. And in Psalm 57, for the choir director, set to the music, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. So this again is once more pursuit by Saul. And keep in mind now, all these pursuits are with the intent of killing him. Not just to capture him, but to kill David on the spot. And for that 57th Psalm, 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 8. Seventh Psalm, Psalm 59. Looking at the superscription, which reads, for the choir director, another miktam of David, when Saul sent men and watched or surrounded his house in order to kill him. So the theme then is his house is surrounded by assassins, specifically commissioned to kill David. His house surrounded by assassins. Did I misspell assassin? Is it one S? I think it is. A-S-S-A-S-I-N-S. Okay, drop an S there. And that is recorded for us in 1 Samuel 19, 11 through 18. Eight. Go clear to the end of the Psalms, Psalm 142. Psalms 142. And once again, this is a maskil of David when he was in the cave. So being in the cave is a very big thing. It may be the same cave of Adullam, we don't know, but nonetheless, once again, David was running and David was hiding. Psalm 142, setting for that is probably 1 Samuel chapter 22. Now, having listed the material we're going to work with, let's make a comment or two. First, and this is a problem, how do we identify with David? How do we identify with David? His whole house is surrounded by assassins commissioned by the king to kill him. Now, what link do I have to that? To my knowledge, my house has never been surrounded by anybody. Perhaps some of us have had a home broken into, and your house was, someone was sitting watching for you to leave, and they know you left, and they broke in your house. But that's not quite equivalent to waiting for you to come out of your house so they can kill you in the front yard. Anyone here ever been so pursued that someone that wants to kill you that you went and hid in a cave? Sorry, I lose that one too, don't we? And so the intensity of pressure, the intensity of fear, you really got to work at to understand it. But haven't we all known fears? And we certainly have known fears, not on this level, but it's interesting that the Holy Spirit is saying this: I'll put in front of you a man who had fears like you have never had, and I want to show you something. He trusted me, and I delivered. And that is going to be the thrust of all of this, and so the emphasis, if David can trust him in the most extreme circumstances and be delivered, why can't you trust him for the little things? And this will be the lesson coming out of these Psalms. And I think this probably will be now into the first of the year. The theme of our studies is looking at these Psalms and the way David thought, how he trusted. And his theme in these Psalms will be praise. The Psalms are of different types, and one of the types of Psalm is the praise Psalm. And we've said previously the Psalms in the lament type and the praise type have a format they go by. And so this is going to be a series of praise Psalms. But the praise Psalms, remember, are two types. One, when the whole nation praises God for a delivery. Like, thank God you delivered us out of Egypt. And it's called a national praise psalm. However, there is a category called individual praise psalms. And this is the majority of these particular psalms. It's individual praise from David about the way the Lord delivered him. And the individual praise psalms always have in them a little statement of the theme. And the theme is so simple. I cried. God heard. And God delivered. And that is the heart of the praise psalms. I cried. God heard, God delivered, and the rest of the psalm is, I want to tell you the details. I want to tell you why I cried out. I want to tell you how every time I cried, God is responsive. He's personal. And he listened to Psalm 34. This poor man cried out, and God heard him. And God was not passive toward my needs. God delivered me. And it's interesting, as we'll begin to look at Psalm 34, when he says God delivered him, he didn't deliver him from Saul, because Saul was still pursuing him. He was still a fugitive. But he's going to say this: I'm hiding in a cave, I'm running for my life, and I'm not afraid. And the reason I'm not afraid is God, in this cave, gave me a great mental attitude delivery. And I want to tell you about it. And that's what we're going to look at 11 o'clock, and it's what we'll be looking at tonight in Psalm 34. Father, we're thankful once again for your word, for its truth. We're thankful for the characters of Scripture through whom you communicate to us how faithful you are, how responsive you are to deliver your children, for which we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.